Okay, Baruch Hashem is all ready for, almost ready for Shavuos, and we have Baruch Hashem a monthly lunch and learn over here. I want to start with two other stories, not tell you what happened last night. And also shows that our children have a Shabbos. Well, may not even, but they know our children are the Arvus, the guarantee that we gave Hashem to give us the Torah is our children. And maybe it's one of the lesser known things. And Medrash says that Hashem says to us, if you want to relive Matan Torah again, come to Shul. Literally, come to listen to Kriyas HaTorah on Shavuos, listen, and that's reliving Matan Torah again. So there is a big Inyan taka to come, to take, come to Shul yourself, bring your children to Shul, because that's where it's all happening on Friday morning. And like the Medrash says, if you want, everybody wants to relive that moment. And the Ebrish says in the Medrash, my children, if you want to relive Matan Torah again, come to hear. So yesterday, I was, we typically have a class Monday night, and Baruch Hashem, Shar B'Tochen, and then I got a call, very, very advanced notice on Sunday. Now he's in 20s. Now, in the comic, they made him like he's in a bed and he was struggling with some illness. He's a boy that's never in a wheelchair. I think the technical term is, I don't like giving terms here, but I wish they could hear. Look, there's something wrong with his spine, and he either is in a wheelchair or he walks very, very awkwardly. And he was given, when I was in a place called prison, he was given a, there's an organization called the Wish Something. And they, what they do is somebody wins a raffle or something so that that child is in the situation where he needs to have a getaway. They pay for a trip to Europe. They won't send that to Israel. It's an important part of the story. Really. As much as I know. Is anything shocking here? I think it's very shocking. So he can go to Europe and watch Disneyland in Europe, not in Florida. Basically, he can take a vacation. But kids, anybody likes to get on the plane, anybody likes to fly with the family, they pay. He got that wish. His father, interestingly enough, suggested to him, maybe he should ask for the wish. He should meet President Trump. The president, this is, I'm sorry, they're streaming 2017 on the English date. And so this must have been after 2016. So he did it, but they wouldn't give him. So he says, "I want to meet the trip. My wish is to meet the president." They said, "They can't meet the president. They can't do that." But if I want to meet the president, I want to tell the president to pardon Shalom Rubashkin. Yeah, it's a true story, a true live kid. And how old was he then? I think it was before 20. He was then in his teens. So he can't get a meeting, but if you write a letter, we'll get the letter into the president. And I checked with Dershowitz, and when they feed me, I checked with Dershowitz. Dershowitz did him deliver me the letter, and they give over there when the president's buried. He was very emotional. I guess he chapped what was going on over here, and he is an emotional person. And everybody asked me, so you think that's who did it? So the real answer is, when the Eibishter sees how a Yid gives of himself for another Yid, that's what did it. That's really what did it. When the child gives away from himself another Yid, David says, if this is the case, I'm here. And David said, I can do it. So last night he made, it seems like from then to that time, till he struggled 10 years to finish Mishnayos. Some people finish in a year. It took him like 10 years. So it seems like he has a hard job there too. And he called me if I can come. So I said, sure. But of course, I think it's a big thing. And I went to be there, and he got up and he said the Mishnayos, and he spoke. It was very, very heartwarming. It was a very lively, happy family. And they should mention, we should be able to walk and be able to get married. Now look at the Zachon. His name is Shalom Avraham Friedland. That's his real name, not the boy. That's the name, Shalom Avraham Friedland. So I had heard two stories yesterday also. I gave two more stories, and I'll fit very much into what we're going to learn. As part of before we get to the lunch, and the heading for today is Yidden are a treasured nation, We're a king of the nation or a priest of the nation. And this comes from Psukim and Parshas Yisrael, how Hashem talks to us. It's good in today's day and age. You have a clip, you have to have music in the background, so it adds to the drama. So I called up one of my friends. I said, he tells me he has an 8-year-old child. Odafka is also struggling. So all these pratim. Oh, by the way, the prat is we were to go to Israel. Mamas the next year, that summer. Okay, the Chagav gave me a supposed to go to Israel. And then I found out the day I was leaving, some Gevir found out what this Shalom Avram did, and he paid for his family on our Wish Foundation. They sent him the money. He went to 2 weeks to Israel. See, you never lose doing a mitzvah. He got his 2-week vacation to Israel. He got on a plane, and he took off. He landed, and all the excitement of a trip, and he went to Israel, not to Disneyland. Or wherever, Europe, a shelter in the country. So the kids, that's a nice ending to the story. So I didn't seem like I went to his house that next year. I went to his house, I met him, but then I see him for 10 years. Not 10 years, 8 years. So I tell the father, this is very important as we go into what we want to learn today. And the reason I print this out is especially if you're able to either take it home, or especially if you read it, you can track it a little better. Two small stories that are big stories if you're the parent. Father tells me he has an 8-year-old child. The 8-year-old child is struggling. He needs a tutor. The tutor, good. So again, he's going good. And then comes summertime, he wants to run a play. So they make up that if he, they'll give him a prize. If he stays studying with the tutor, they'll still give him a prize. Very good, yeah. What prize does he want? He wants a horn for his bicycle. Sounds funny, but for an 8-year-old child, it's Glick. He needs a home for his bicycle. He couldn't have before. He has a home for his bicycle. Goes by a few days. Yesterday, he came home to his father and says, Tata, I got to talk to you. On the side. What's the mice? He says, in the class, the Rebbe was raffling off, I think, a sefer. Either stories or maybe a sefer from the Chofetz Chaim. And it was in the class, there was a dancer thing. And he really wanted to win. And he didn't win. So maybe if his father would give him a book from the Chofetz Chaim instead of a horn. What is the point of the story? The father of the story says, you always speak about, when you speak to a child, speak to the neshama. Know that there's a neshama that you're talking to. It's not just talking to a child. You're going to go into Barnes & Noble, you're going to buy on Amazon, you're going to buy a book, and the book is going to tell you how to do good parenting. It's not, you're not parenting a child, you're parenting a Yiddish neshama. Here you see how a child, 8 years old, and he's motivated, obviously, by a bicycle. So to us, sounds funny. But he didn't want to go over to the bicycle horn kept him on track. And Mitamol, he's willing to change his bicycle horn for a book. How much are you going to read this? But he wants to connect us. I shared the story with somebody else. He tells me his story. He has a 7-year-old, and he is him under, and now he's a bach in yeshiva. When he's in 7th grade, he has people in his family that are sports fans. And I personally never understood what sports, I like to play, but I never understood watching sports. So today, but his kid did, and he was very much in the sports fans. And there's, I think, a football player called Tom Brady. Basically, I know my legal thing. We had a Brady violation. That's basically, yeah, a constitutional violation. That's as much as I know about Mr. Brady. But Tom Brady is a football player, and he was so enthused with Tom Brady, he bought a picture of Tom Brady and he hung him up on his wall. I don't know anybody here would really enjoy having a kid from Lakewood having with a good head, Dafka. Putting a time, but the father didn't say nothing. And what time went by? Somebody gifted this boy, seventh grade boy, a book on the brisket of 7 years old. How old? 7 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old. He read the book on the brisket of. He got so impressed. Something happened there to him. He went to the bookstore. His father. He wants him to buy for him a picture from the brisket of. He went to his room, took off Mr. Tom Brady level, and put up a picture of the biscuit up. And as his father put it, he never looked back. So these are very encouraging stories, to me anyways. And we see over here the kayak we have when we're able to inspire our children with Matan Torah. Matan Torah is a true story of neshamas getting around it, millions of Yidden getting around it, experiencing, as we'll share today, a few thoughts. What was Matan Torah about, and how to see ourselves as a treasured nation, a kingly nation, and a priestly nation. That's who we are. How do we know that? So if you look inside, just to make it easier for reading, here is in Parshas yesterday, it tells about how the Eden came to Har Sinai. Pasuk number one, B'chidosh HaShlishi, L'tzeit Bnei Yisrael V'atzim Sayim, B'yim Ezer Bom Bnei Sinai, they came to Har Sinai, and they came from freedom, they came from Har Sinai, V'yichin Shem V'son HaGadol, Pasuk Beis, and they all camped there for the one time in life, or not only one time, but was the old Yidens gathered around Ish Echad, B'leiv Echad, with tremendous Achadus, which made him Lo'i for Kabal Satan. Then what I did was, if you have, I decided to print enough, Baruch Hashem is a nice Eilom, which I'm next week we have bigger. I printed out the calendar, what it looked like in that year. So Rosh Chodesh was Yom Beis B'Shavua. It's this year, Rosh Chodesh was Sunday, Yom Rishon, so everything's off one day. So Monday, they came to Har Sinai, Yom Sheni. This is from the Gemara. And they didn't do anything. They just camped, get ready. Moshe went up the mountain, and Yom Gimel, the next day, Beis Sivan, which was Tuesday, like today, is called a Yom Segula, which I want to talk about, even though today is Gimel Sivan. But when the Eibishter said, you'll see on the bottom of the three Pesukim, the Eibishter said, and Hashem said, Yom V'yisim V'segula, you should be a Segula. You know what Segula is? People think a Segula means you do something in order to get a Yeshua. We'll find out in a minute what the word Segula really means. And then the next verse says, V'atim T'yuli Ma'amlachas Koyanim V'Goy Kodesh, and you should be for me a priestly nation and a Goy Kodesh, and in the name of one of the big Mepharshim, Ma'amlachas Koyanim means even the Goy Kodesh. Every one of us is a part of Ma'amlachas Koyanim, a kingly nation. We're all kings. What does that mean? And that's really what I'd like to talk about today. And but then what happened after that, the Yom Dalet B'Shavuah, Wednesday, there was a mitzvah Hagbola, the Hashem made the mitzvah, King of Mahar Sinai. Quite simply means that Matan Torah is not about going up Har Sinai, Matan Torah is about staying down here, they're getting the Torah and working with the Torah down this world. That's what Matan Torah is all about. So Hashem says, a big emphasis, don't make a fence, because you can get very excited when you see all the beauty of Yiddishkeit. You want to run up, become a big malach, don't become a malachim. Stay down here, be a person, and bring the Shekhinah down here. Yom Hei, B'Shavua, Thursday, is the Dalet Sivan, and that was the mitzvah. Trisha, when Eden said to the Eibishter that initially it was supposed to be Meshach Ben getting the Torah and giving it to Eden. Eden said, we want to see Hashem. Hashem, that's the case. Everybody has to be Pedish, have to get ready to go to the mikveh and purify yourself, and then Yom Vav, Friday, Meshach Ben built a Mizbeach under the mountain, 12 matzevis, and then all the Eden, he made the Korban, and all Eden said, Nasiv Adishma. Nasiv Adishma was said on Friday, and Shabbos Kodesh, all Eden got up, and we had Matan Torah. That was the whole, and the rest is we're living with it. So now let's go back to the second day. Let's go back to Yom Gimel, and let's see what happened there. So the pasuk said like this: Meisha Ola Lekim. Meisha went up to the mountain. This is what you say to the men, to the women, and then to the men. Famous pasuk: How Meisha is supposed to speak. These psukim have to be given over word for word, side to the men, or side to the woman, in the way the woman can understand it, and the way that men can understand it. And these are the three psukim. Atim Reisem Asher Asisim Mitzrayim. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim, so this is an important thing to give over to yourself and to everybody around you. This is not something that people are telling us about. This is something which the Eibishter showed us all. We all saw Atim Reisem Asher Mitzrayim. Now remember, anybody there could have said that I didn't see, and everybody saw. Okay? But as I asked them, come from the and I raised you up on the wings of eagles, and I brought them to you to me. So the second next passage is Atom. Now, intermetishm bekeli, if when you're gonna listen to my voice, Ushmatim as Brisi, and you are going to watch, or you're gonna be careful to do the bris between me and you, which is Torah and Mitzvahs, the Yisem Li Segula. You see the part of the word Segula here? What does Segula mean? Because you'll be for me as Gula because I'm from all nations, Kili Kalaris, and all the world belongs to me. And the second thing is Batim Tiyulim, Amlachas Kayanim, Vega Kodesh, will be for me a priestly nation and a holy nation, Eilah Hadvar Shadabla Le Yisrael. So before we get into the kingly nation, I'd just like to point out what does Segula mean. Segula really means precious. I just gave you, under this line is all where this comes from. It actually says it's Oitza Chaviv, it's like a very precious Oitza treasure. It means unique and personal, you're mine. The Ramban says that. If you look on page 2, if you're going to watch my Torah mitzvahs to get connected to me, you are going to be my segula of all nations. You'll be in my hands as a precious item. I will not give it to you over, like as a king doesn't give it over to anybody else to handle. I'll handle you personally. And Ben Bechaya says that obviously nobody's arguing with each other. Each one's bringing out another aspect of what Zgula means, because if something is precious, that's a treasure, then it's like a lovely, that's unique, it's personal. And then comes Ben Bechaya and Erechaim HaKadosh and says what it also means is that it's a Yid is higher than Teva. Look at Erechaim writes. Ben Bechaya, the yellow, I'm sorry, for those who don't have it, again, my apologies. A treasure which is hidden when people don't see, and it's dedicated in Etzlan Melech, and it's only under his rishos, not under anybody's rishos. And that's what we Yidden are. We Yidden are people, we are those who have only one Eibishter to talk to. We don't talk to anybody else. There's no nature. There's no what the doctor said, there's no what the shatran said, there's no what the matzav, this is what I'm talking about, because b'yadi, you're my eitzer, and Erechaim says this, if you think it's taken it far, Erechaim writes, parsha pshat nechumash, k'shem shehazgula hu dover she'enik fiateva, the same way hazgula means that something I can't explain, it's hazgula, something that you can't explain, it's afidah hateva, that's who you are. You're not on the tavern. That's why every week we come together. And really Shabbat Tachan, because one of the main things Shabbat Tachan is that when we daven and we trust Hashem, Hashem is higher than Teva, and that's why we expect the Yeshua to be higher than Teva. That's the whole point. It's pretty clear. So Chomekeni finishes off the Rechaim, Maftichim Hashem, when we do what the Eibishter wants, Sheyiyuz Gula Gam Shalich, we will be precious, Hashem will do for us, also higher than we can ever imagine. Okay, so now we know it's Gula. Next pasuk. Ba'atim ti, and I want to talk about Mamlachas Koyin Nevegoy Kodesh. Hashem says, as we look at the Torah, we are a princely nation, and we are a holy nation. What are the qualities of a melech? I want to analyze a minute. This comes from Sfarim. What I want to analyze, what is a melech, and what does it mean to us to be a melech? Very nice. The melech is for the king on the throne. People come and serve him. What's this melech thing? Who? What's really a melech? A melech is about having pointed hat. I don't know. Except a lot of money. People do what he wants. What's a melech? So the qualities of a melech is three qualities chose over here. A melech is someone who's above it. A melech is a one, as Shaul was called. Shaul was called b'shichmei ulamayla mikolam, from his shoulders. That means a person's seer, a person's shape, is his head is the highest. Shaul was so great. Even his shoulders were higher than everybody else. He's a person of great stature, and he's above it. He's above it. I was put in a place called prison. And a lot of these things that I learned suddenly became very important to me. You can be in a place called prison, meaning in a place you don't want to be. You can be in a place with a lot of people you don't want to be with. You can be in a place where you're not given those things you really like to have to make it the way you want it to be. And you can feel like a melech. Nobody's serving you. You're not accepted. You're locked in at night, but it's a quality that you bring into yourself that these things don't define me. I'm above it. That's what a melech means. So Hashem says, "Va'atem tiyuli mamlachas kein v'gei kodesh." He's saying, "Don't think you're just another human being locked into this world, and you got to figure out how does a human being like you work with in this limited world. See yourself as a melech." First of all, see yourself as above it, because you are actually above it. It is a marshal I've shared a few times. I think it's a good marshal. I didn't see it anywhere, but if somebody wants to buy a house, everybody wants to buy a house. It says if you don't have a house, you're not a person. Everybody should be blessed with a house. But you need money to buy a house. So this guy is working, he has a job, and he's saving up money. And let's say, just for numbers' sake, I understand the story, he needs $100,000 for a down payment. He wants to buy a house that's $1 million. That's a nice, small little house, compact thing, without any backyard, whatever. $1 million. Yeah. Mashiach is coming, guys. We're going to be very nice. We don't have to buy this little compact thing for big things. So if you need $1 million to buy a house, you need $100,000 deposit, and you come to this financial advisor and you ask him, I want to buy a house. I have a job. I'm making $80,000, $100,000 a year. I save up 20. How do I get from 20 to 100? How do I get this put together? So the financial advisor looks at him and says, okay, this is how it's done. This is the financial advice. How do you do what you're making? How do you budget the pool? And there's a method to the madness somehow to get it. Now, what happens if the guy who's coming actually has another bank account that has $1 million in it, and the guy actually could sign a check and he might buy the house just like that? Doesn't he deposit? He doesn't know about it. He comes to his advisor, and the advisor does know about it. And instead of telling him, what are you talking about? You need my advice? You have the money yourself. Hey, I know your father left you an account. You have $1 million in there. Here, unlock your account and use it, and you have a house. What happens if the advisor would? Yeah, but I am a financial advisor. I'm not here to tell you what you have. I got to tell you, how do you take from 20,000 to 100,000? You think it's right? You think that's the way? What would this person be called if he did that? Huh? You have an adjective here? I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't say it. Huh? Is that? Is he lying to him? Not lying to him. He's telling him good financial advice. But the advice is based on somebody who doesn't have that account. If you have, this is really when the yid comes and looks for strength to go through life. He wants to know about life. And he tells an advisor, here's who I am. This is my experiences. I had a father who was mamash achzer. He used to hang me up by my feet every night. And my mother didn't know how to feed me. I'm exaggerating. I have a father and a mother and a teacher, and I have all these experiences, and I wanted to know how I do it. And he says, that's okay, with your experiences, I want to tell you how to deal with it. But he omits the fact that he is a king, that he has a neshama, who he really is. You think it's right to do that? Unless you don't believe him. Or unless you believe has nothing to do, unless you believe that what he has nothing to do with his life. And that's even worse. That's even worse. So what I want to share today in the few minutes we have is that when the Abishah says, V'atam tiyu mamlachas kingdom, it's not just nice words. Abishah wants to pick our ego up and stroke it. He's telling who you are. You are mamlachas kayan. You're a melech. It also happens to be, if I get to it, David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, and the Baal Shem Tov all have a shaykh to shoes. Moshe Rabbeinu was a king, and David HaMelech was a king. The idea of a king is shaykh to us. We are Mamlachas Kain of the Gay Kodesh. You understand? So what's another thing of a king? A king has to have everything that has to be given to a king in an abundance. And when we talk about B'tochen, we talk about when you come to the Abish, then you say, today, I'm your servant. We're princes. We're kings. Hashem is a king. So we come to Hashem. We have to know that really the world, the Abishah has to give us everything in the world so we can serve him. The foundation of B'tochen is that we're Avdi Hashem, and being Avdi Hashem, we have to serve him. So therefore, what's going to happen? Then the third thing of a king is no one is allowed to deny his will from being done. A king, that's how it works. A king. If a king is going to war, and there's a curve in the road, there's a straight Hormuz, yeah, there's a curve in the road over there, and he doesn't have to ask permission. He goes straight to there's a field. Somebody owns a field over there. He goes right through. That's the same. He goes right through the field. He doesn't ask permission. He does because the world. Here's the point. By Matan Teda, even I just wrote it out here so you can follow it and apply it. By Matan Teda was really Mamton. Hashem picked us up. Hashem raised us above all nations and places higher than the world in general. We have to begin with that. That's what Matan Teda is about. Matan Teda is about we became the priestly nation, became a nation of kings. I am Segula. We're Segula to the Abishah. So let's see ourselves that way, and then let's work in this world with that knowledge. Let's work in the world that we have an account that's not only a million, billions, and limitless amount of money access, but we connect to Hashem. Hashem raises us up from high from lower than general. We are not under the limitations of the boundaries of nature. And when Yidden do the will of Hashem, not only do they receive physical abundance, they work. Their work is actually done by others. So like this, let's bring it down to practical application. When a Yid is doing a mitzvah, okay, he's doing a mitzvah. So we always talk about, when we do a mitzvah, we're using a Yetzer Tov, wants to express itself, wants to do a mitzvah. And the Yetzer Hara comes and fights us. We can either fight with the Yetzer Hara, that's one thing, Or we can just pick ourselves up and feel as we are king. So we, again, this is not something we're trying to imagine. This is who we really are. Shanta, we really are. We can feel that really we are really the ones who are higher than all this nature. So we should do a mitzvah exactly as we do without any work or worries. When we're going to do a mitzvah, do it like without any work or worries, like someone who has all his needs given to him in abundance. That's how you're supposed to go do a mitzvah. You don't do a mitzvah. I got a problem. I got to do this. I got to do that. I have a mitzvah to do. I'm a melech. I will do it. Nobody can stop me. Next thing is, no really calculation. As same way a king, no calculation can hold them back from doing his will. No really calculation can hold them back from doing the mitzvah, because in the area of Tera mitzvahs, the yid is the king in control of nature. I can't say, I just want to, again, a personal experience, everybody has their own experience. I bet if everybody looked at those days that he thought of himself that way, or when they went with that attitude, with that feeling, mitzvah the day worked out fine. It worked out fine, you know how it worked, but that's what happens. But we're doing, Hashem is telling us, do it this way because you're connected to me. You're my nation, you're my segula, you're my precious nation, you're on my hands. Nobody's in control. You're not giving over to the control of nature. You're not like the other nations, which is under the 70 sarim. You are high the mazel. So use it. Use it, fear the king. And when you assess your kreches, you assess what you have in order to overcome your challenges, use it and don't let anything interfere with your mitzvahs. The way I was able to person again, this is found fundamental knowledge. Use it. Maybe sometimes in the beginning you don't see it working exactly, but then you see it does work. The first night, you know my story, but if you do know, you don't know. But quickly, the first night I was thrown in the prison, I was in a jam. Yeah, cool like that. And the guard tells me I got to take off my armor against Tzitzis. I was never told by my ex-hoder wanted me to take off my armor against Tzitzis plenty of times. And Bucks never listened to him either. But never a guard to tell me take off my armor against Tzitzis as if he has control of me. And the point I'm trying to say is, when a guy's in prison, he's not coming around as if you're not really thinking that you're in control, but you are in control. When you do the Eibishter wants, you're really in control. So I kept on pushing, and as I was pushing, it was getting harder. I said, I don't take it off. So then they gave me an option, one of them. And then I said, I'm not taking nothing. And then they took it away from me, and they threw me into solitary confinement. They tried to demean me in a very bad way, but I went with this truth. Okay, I say, well, the emphasis is that we are kings. The emphasis is that we have a mission. The emphasis is we're not allowed. The emphasis is we're Am Segula. The emphasis is Hashem is with us. So at the... So here's how it works. When a person at least knows what I'm hoping to do by speaking, I don't think there's no chidushim here to say, you've heard this before. Nothing I said you didn't hear before. What I'm saying is, use it. This is not just ideas written in the Mefedesh and the Chumash. This is descriptive of who we are. We are going now to get the Tater. Friday, at whatever time the shul is laying the Tater, Hashem is saying, come to shul, Hashem is Matan Tater. Before Matan Tater, Hashem says, you should know Matan Tater, you're Am Segula. Am Segula means you're higher than nature. Remember that. You're not the guy who's limited with his own bank account. You have a bigger bank account. When? When you become the Tater. That's the point. When we become the Tater, we become connected to Hashem. We do a mitzvah to Hashem. So the very mitzvah that you're doing is making you a king. And I can tell you, 8.5 years of this place called prison, where you think a person is not a king, and my experience is that I, Baruch Hashem, never missed one day talking to him, which is actually not my doing. It's actually that I think at least ago there was a precious thing Hashem gave me. In hindsight, I mean, the Bashas Mai said there was a few times so clearly I was in terrible danger of missing it. I tried very hard not here. The guy tells me. I asked the first day. He says, where's my talent? I'm in a car, handcuffs and feet cuffs in the back of a car. I'm being chauffeured from South Falls, South Dakota, to another crazy place in Iowa. And my worry is, where's my talent film? I was sure my wife, Zangazun, brought it to the jail. So I asked the guys, radio, where is it? I hope they sent it over there. They tell me they have no idea where it is. They wouldn't lie, would they? American government. No. Of course they were lying. And so they dropped me off as the UPS package over there, and they gave me access to a phone. I called my wife up. It was an emotional call. I asked her, where's my $1,000? She said, it's there. Nothing, couldn't get it. So I told the cops actually in the car already, because they had food. So this was really 9:30 in the morning. They had food for me. I told them, I can't eat. Why can't you eat? I said, I didn't pray yet. So pray. I said, I can't pray till I have my thousand fill. Give me my thousand fill. I pray. Was I in control? I mean, come on. And I thought I was. I threatened them. I am not going to eat until you give me thousand fill. Yeah. I didn't say I don't want to eat. I said, I'm very hungry. I want to eat. And I can't eat because a Jew has to pray before he eats. And I can't pray with a thousand fill. And I thought that would be maybe the, you know, it worked. And the nest is they didn't know the barbers to eat before davening also. I was actually, you have to always laugh a little bit. You can't get too serious. You have to have some laugh. But they didn't know that. And a few hours later, it took a commitment, and it took this whole thing started in the morning, 9:00 in the morning. I got it, my film back a quarter to four o'clock. It took a long time. I was hungry. I didn't eat from the Thursday day before. And there were plenty of times I could have thought I actually didn't. Okay, give up. No, my job, I'm not trying to take it out of context. When it comes to Tatum Mitzvahs, be a melech. And here's the payback. And you know what? I got my thousand film. Another funny part of the story. Of all people to be my thousand film was a Rabbi Green. Rabbi Green. And Rabbi Green is about Shuva. Him and his brother about the Shuva, and they learned in many yeshivas. So when I come in, and my talis big, no, not this one, this was a fourth one. This I got as a present from somebody. My God. So they gave me a talis big with the colors of prison. Can you imagine the trauma? Every day I'm looking at the colors of prison. I said, yeah, he said, the guy who made it is the Hamefis. And he made the olive biz gimel that's orange color of prison. He says, that's the color. I said, wow, and something good to remember. And I don't have trauma, by the way. I see in the sign. So the kid said, I opened up my bag. Oh, so he starts and the entering with me, this guy. He starts entering with me. My name is Rabbi Green, and I'm the rabbi here, and I'm with Tassin Phil. And he learned in the yeshiva in Manhattan, and then he went to yeshiva in Marathon, New Jersey. I know the yeshiva in Marathon, New Jersey. I went to Marathon, New Jersey. There's a yeshiva there called the Lubavitch Yeshiva for yeshiva boys, and they have a yeshiva called Perez Bakurim for Baal Teshuva. I was about to start a conversation with him. I realized I better shut up because this guy is going to talk forever. And the sun is setting. I just took in all the information. I find Rabbi Green. I can't talk too much. We'll talk after. Okay. I put on my talis. I really felt like, you know, you put on a talis is like a Hashem's embrace. I really felt very, very close. And took an effort to take it off. And I went to put on my tefillin. We put on Rashi's tefillin and Avinatan's tefillin. We have two pairs. We have with Rashi's and Avinatan's. There's the machlek, is a different order of where the tefillin go. It's the same four parshiyas, but it's in different order. So I put my hand in the bag, and what is missing? And I pull the other one out, and the one is Avinatan comes out, not Rashi's. I turn to the guard and ask her, tell me, there's two bags in there. What happened to the other one? She says, sure, there's two bags, but you only have permission for one talis and one film. You can't have two pieces of pizza, only one. Mom says, hey, like a matter of fact, what am I going to tell her? You don't understand. It's machlik, it's over here. Rashi and Taisus, you have to come to yeshiva, I'll teach it to you. Even if I can try to explain it to this lady, it was impossible and timing-wise. I was at loss. I didn't know what it was. The first thing I did was, what would Rabbeinu Tam do in the situation? Because I thought Rabbeinu Tam said, Shema, started davening. And this is where Ashgacha Pratis came to help. It hit me. This guy, Rabbi Green, was telling me a ganze meisa with his life. He was about Shuva. And he went to this yeshiva. I mean, it was a long-winded conversation. It wasn't... I respectfully listened to him. Then I realized it's going on forever. And he tells me that Ben Advarim tells me a little marathon. So it hit me. Why did Hashem tell me all this information? Because he knows I put on two pieces of film. And for whatever reason, he didn't say anything. So I finished from there. I said, quickly, I said to him, Rabbi Green, you know, you're looking marathon, you told me. Yeah, so you know I have two. If I tell this to this guard, he ain't going to believe me. You tell I need it, but then... I don't know why he had this, but she came back in and said he needs both of them, and she got both of them. That was one of the days I didn't miss Rashi. So, but I got this present. of going through life, and Friday, whenever that was in the year of my life, I was able to do that mitzvah, that connection with Hashem that lasts forever. I didn't miss it. Now, if I could have missed, I had a Teretz and I had a Nechus. I had a Rebbe. They always emphasize this. When you're a kid, Bachram, you don't do something, you have a good excuse, you won't get punished. But your face will stay dirty. We're talking about Neilam Habo. You have a choice. You didn't learn because you went to play. You didn't. You have a choice, but you didn't do the mitzvah. The mitzvah has to get done. The mitzvah, the tzavsa, the ed, if Avram Baba Yomar, Avram came, he was all his days, every day was a mitzvah. When that happened, to me, it was like getting the biggest plate of food in the terms of neshama. Then he offered me, so this is my Mamlechas Kainim. Looking back, who was really in control of the whole situation? I was in control. Because every step that I made over there was being answered. Hashem was answering me back with a positive. I was putting the car in handcuffs. No tassel film. I could have said, what should I do? I have bigger things to worry about, right? No, the biggest thing right now is doing my mitzvah. My mitzvah, the man, I have 1,000 children. I'm in control. I got to do it. What are you going to do? What power do you have to advertise? The only power I had then is to give him a threat. I'm not eating. Okay, Shane? I'm not eating. And I had to follow through on this because the food wasn't even kosher. So it wasn't really a threat. I actually fasted that day and Shabbos also. I didn't eat from Thursday till after Shabbos. Plenty. That's so the but the point was I utilized what was going on there. And I say in the business, I leveraged it. And it worked. But it didn't work because I leveraged it. It worked. Hashem was watching me. Hashem was seeing what I'm doing. So I wasn't in control. We are in, that's the point. We are sent down to this world because we are Mamlechas Kehanim. The Neshama comes down to this world not as a spectator, not as somebody who's just floating along. It came down with a mission, and that's why we have to talk. If a person is in a matzah where he can't do his mission, his job is to work to do it. And also for Gashmias, it says, so let's go back over here. Oh, so how that story finished? He wanted to come visit me Shabbos. I was afraid he would drive. So I told him, only if you walk. So he actually walked on, this Rabbi Green walked on Shabbos. He had a visit on Shabbos, if I bring a little bit. And he gave me a book to read also. He gave me a book before Shabbos. Okay, well, when doing the mitzvah, you should feel like a malacha. You should do the mitzvah exactly as he would without any other work or worries. Like someone who has all his needs given abundance. No worldly calculation should hold him back from doing the mitzvah. Because in the area of the mitzvah, the yin is a king, the yin is a king and control of nature. And finally, when the yid goes to do the mitzvah, as a malacha's kain, I think here's the beauty of the whole story. If you can instill this in yourself, and if you instill this way of thinking into your children, which you can, I start with two stories to try to bring this out. If you're going to instill this in your children, even the story from last night, you have a kid in a wheelchair. And he's always, like, last night was a special thing, because as he's getting older, his brothers are getting married. And his sister getting married, and he's left behind. I mean, I give him a bracha, they should heal you, you should get married also. And he jumped up, there's a bracha he wanted to hear. You see a guy in a wheelchair, you think he gave up on it, he wants to be married. Everybody has. So, The word is that every single one of us wants to do what Hashem wants us to do, right? Now we can do with a fight, or if we can see ourselves that what we really want is not the horn on the bike. What we really want is not Tom Brady on the wall. He's a nice guy. I don't know Tom Brady was. He threw a ball pretty nicely, but that's not who I am. That's how I want to aspire to be. And I'd rather have the brisket off on the wall of on my wall. That's who I want to be. So when you get yourself and your child in gear like that, what happens is you start doing things, no fight anymore. There is no fight. You're a melech. Your pay is getting. In other words, you can put yourself in a situation where you fight. The HR says this, and you say no. And you have to fight with it. Or you can put yourself in a frame of mind where You're in control, and it goes the way you're doing. Because why are you in control? Because you're a melech, because you're a segula la'ivishta. You're precious. You have a neshama. You're a great kodesh. You're holy. You're above it. I've added it. He sort of try to pull you down, and every time he pulls you down, he wants to make you believe that you're down now. You're always melech. You're not a melech. You wash yourself off. You do tshuva. You move up back up. So this is this is a good way to be able to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I also about a picture. I'm running out of time, I guess, over here. Time flies by when you're speaking. if you look about a page two, it's a geschmack piece over here that Goy Kodesh means talk about eternity. Even a child understands that is no good. A child understands everything is temporary. A child understands that everything is here today and gone tomorrow. You won't have something good that's infinite, which is really priceless. That's what Gei Kodesh means. Gei Kodesh means Kodesh means Kodesh Mo. Kodesh means you're removed from the problems of this world. You're removed. You're how can you be removed from the problems of this world? Because Hashem Kodesh, Ushmei Kodesh. So when you do a mitzvah which is Kodesh, then you become Kodesh. And it's not something which is beyond you because you're Am Kodesh. That's the point that David is saying to you. You're a holy nation. You're not like a goy. And I'll tell you something, one more thing I can tell you, and I've seen this in my life more than once. A Yid can't really enjoy life if he's not doing Torah mitzvah. That's a fact. I was yesterday night, my brother made a L'chaim. I shouldn't said the address. I say the whole thing. I went in there, and it's one of those L'chaims that, for whatever reason, there was music that I didn't want to be there, say like that. it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't Ani, Mami, and there was a different beat. And today they want to say the younger generation. I'll finish with this though. They want to say it's the younger generation. Today's generation is different. Blah, 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 blah. I went in there and I gave a look. I sat down with my brother, we're having a good time. And then my nephew walked in and has the same, my nephew Shalom. And he tells me when he sees this, he sees depression. He sees depression. These kids are depressed. They're not as happy to make them, but they think happy, they're dancing with the Hentelach Mises. This is, they're lost, they don't know where they are, they have no rooting, they're floundering. And this actually, that's interesting how you put it to me. I want to say, because we're Mamlach Iskayim and Kodesh, because we're Am Kodesh, because we're Am Sikol, that's who we are. We try to change it, we run into problems. You're not helping anybody by trying to give him a way that's off Tehillim and Mitzvahs. Because if you take away Tehillim and Mitzvahs, you take away his food. You're actually taking away his pleasure. Today, I just want to prove my point one more place and then I'll finish this door. And everybody knows this. When the Eden saw, I couldn't get through the whole page, so I'll just go to page 4. We all know when the Abishter came to Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, the nation saw and they started shaking from fear and they backed up. So the pasuk says, they saw the kodesh. Can you see kodesh? Because the sound. You don't see sounds, you hear sounds, right? So Rashi brings some chalks in the Gemara. Rashi brings of Rabbi Akiva and he says, Reinus Anishma. By Matan Teir, it was a miracle. They were able to see that what is heard. I heard, ever heard this in school, right? I'm sure. Yeah. Other places you can't. By Matan Teir, they stayed on this. They were able to see that what is heard. So let's understand this for a second. And we understand that a big miracle happened here. They made a big miracle. And they're not even see what you typically heard. What's the purpose? Just to show you can? Hashem knew everything. Hashem just to show he's the Almighty God, but he saw he did Tamakas Zakir. What was the need? Hashem doesn't do nothing for nothing. What was going on here is explained. What's going on here is not just another nest. This is Matan Torah. Matan Torah is that when Ruchnius is what you hear. Gashmius, physical, is what you see. When what you typically hear, Ruchnius became as real as Gashmius. Reyunas Anishma means when the Nishma, when that which is spiritual becomes real. Reyun, you see it. The same when you see a physical thing, it's real to you. When you have a spiritual idea, it's distant from you. But Matan Torah was backwards. It's Reyunas Anishma. They were able to see what typically meaning it became real, so real to them. That's why we eat cheesecake, by the way. You know, why do we eat cheesecake? Yeah, I didn't see this anywhere because I didn't see it either anyway, but it's a good point. What's the whole cocoa cheesecake? Cheesecake, I hate cheesecake. That's not cheesecake, that's not cheese, that's cheese, blintz, that donut, that's cheese. What's the answer? Because why don't we eat cheesecake? Because Eden ate cheesecake. They ate milk after Matan Torah. So what's the gate to us what they ate after Matan Torah? If they would have eaten sour cream within it. But it means whatever they saw was so real to them, they changed immediately. They heard suddenly it became Yidden. Suddenly the meat wasn't kosher. That had that hilchos shchita. The pots weren't kosher. They just said, okay, tomorrow we'll go kosher. Tell them we're going to do it. It became so real to them that right now they said change their food. They started eating milk. That's all they had. So eating cheesecake, eating milk on Shavuos is that point of when we hear something true. When we see something is ambas, we change. We don't say, oh, a nice idea. It's a nice, no, we eat. Sit down, we eat. We celebrate over the food. And I just finished my thought and I have all that. So this is a lesson of chinuch for yourself. Leilas Anishra means matan Torah. Every yid has the ability. It's interesting because the Medrash says also they also heard what they saw. Every yid has the ability. I started a story with two small kids, about 8-year-old kid and a 7th grade kid. Every child is able to see Nishma. Just you have to find the right words to tell to him. But you can, Rashi says, the whole nation saw Nishma, the only so spiritual, which he's telling, he's still teaching this even to a 5-year-old child. This is something which is applicable to you. A child is able to understand the mila of Gashmis, of Ruchnis. Now, the other part is they also heard what they saw. That otherwise, that means, meaning when you hear what you see means distant. When you hear something is distant from you, Gashmis, you see, so by Matan Torah, the Gashmis became distant. That not everybody can do. The Rashi doesn't even bring it. Gashmis is the first part. So to the man from a child, not like Gashmis, to make Gashmis, it's not for him. That's really, that's about the Madrega. But every kid is able to talk, you can talk to them. So this generation is different. This is what when I grew up, and I don't know, I seem I'm getting older and older, but I'm 120. But so I say I grew up, I sound like the Zaidi. In 1960s, when I grew up, the exact same song was being sung. Today's generation in America is different. Today's children can't do it. Look at me. They can't do it. Look at everybody sitting at BMG learning. All the fathers. They can't do it. They did do it, but they can't do it. They sort of always comes with this time there. That today you can't do it. You know why I can do it. You know why the other parents can do it? Because we were taught the way you're not taught. We gave them over the information they needed to know. We gave them over the explanation. We gave them over to understanding who they are, what they are, what they're doing. That's what we taught them. And that's why we brought where we are. If we say that the third generation is different, then we start teaching them Goyish things. So I'm asking you, teaching Goyish things, why should they appreciate Yiddish things? If you're teaching him Goyish ways of thinking, Parit, but not Yiddish. You're not teaching him Zgula, you're not teaching him Mamlachus Kainim, you're not teaching him Great Kodesh. You're teaching him you're another human being. Well, human beings, we have emotions. How do you deal with emotions? Well, it depends who you are. What is an emotion? So that's the problem. The problem is not today's generation can't do it. It's not fair. Who decided that? We're not letting him do it. We're teaching him the wrong way. So we have to go into Martin Taylor. We have to recalibrate. We have to reassess ourselves. We have to make ourselves. We're going to teach our children the way the Abishon wants it. The Emes Hashem. And this is just a small sampling. If you bench everybody with Nachs and the children, that's Sachat Zalabim.